Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. My name is Magla Pillay, and I have here in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 4 decades. The topic of today's show is entitled The Power of Stillness. The purpose of this series is for you, the viewer, to look at yourself and ask yourself, what is the core of spirituality? Whether you have any interest in the subject, we look at questions like, what is philosophical and spiritual integrity? We ask you to look at your own relationship with yourself as well as God and ask the question as to, what is the impact of spirituality on your consciousness? We also look at things like what it means to have a balanced relationship with God. In other words, do you enjoy internal harmony or is there discord within your own mind and your heart? To this end, I would like to welcome Sister Denise. Thank you very much for joining us, Sister Denise.
Thank you.
It's good to have you in the studio as always. The power of stillness. Stillness is not something that is necessarily in everyone's vocabulary. We have a vague understanding of what it is, but very few choose to make it an active part of their lives. And yet stillness means something to you in spiritual terms, does it not?
We use this word Om Shanti. We're very much associated with that in the Brahma Kumaris. And in English, you can translate Shanti in 3 very distinct ways. One of them is stillness, another one is peace, and the third one is silence. Stillness is about stillness of the mind. So the mind is very subtle. It's a kind of sense organ which can sense atmosphere, and it's like a butterfly, it goes from one thing to another very easily. So to bring the mind to stillness is something we want to do in spirituality, because when the mind is still and focused, then you can actually link it to God, the Supreme Being, and then you can draw the qualities of God into yourself. The stillness of the mind is connected with the creation of pure thought. And normally people have thoughts of many different qualities, which contributes to the flitting around of the mind. When the mind is flitting around, the mental energy is getting dissipated. So another reason why we would like stillness is because it holds the energy of the mind, and you can then accumulate it, because then you have a powerful mind, and when you have a powerful mind, then you can love.
A powerful mind can love. It's a very beautiful sentiment. Sister Denise, many years ago I heard you use the words or expression that inner stillness and inner silence is very therapeutic for the human soul. What did you mean by that?
When the mind is distressed or in pain or negative, then the energy is totally dark, it's very depleted, and then the soul becomes, like half dead. So when you hold the mind stable and steady by filling the mind with thoughts that are really pure, really powerful, then the mind lights up, and it's a kind of a harmony that goes on. Probably a good analogy is music, and different music can represent different moods. So the mood of lightness, purity, sweetness, that we use different words of virtues and powers for. When the mind is like that, then it's healthy, and the whole inner world of the soul is bright and beautiful, and you feel energy, you don't feel exhausted. And also, when it comes to external realities being negative, they don't have nearly so much impact on you, and you can even manage physical pain, other kinds of pain, when the mind is bright and pure like that.
Hmm. Mr. Denise, when an ordinary person tries to be still, the first thing that they encounter is the extraordinary noise in the mind. Okay, how do you find stillness within the context of your own mind? Because overthinking is quite commonplace.
You see, what makes a person ordinary is their thoughts are ordinary. So that person, when they change their thinking, they're no longer ordinary. So what we are is very much a factor of the thoughts that we decide to produce. And, you know, the mind is an instrument which is guided by what we call the buddhi, or the intellect, the will. And if a person's will is weak, or a person never bothered to develop it, then you wouldn't use it to decide what thoughts to fill your mind with and where to direct the mind. So overthinking is a factor of past karma. And the past karma, if it's ordinary, if it's negative, if it's very distracted, then, you know, the mind develops the habit of just being all over the place, losing energy very quickly, picking up bits and pieces here and there, coming under influence. Very much you are unable to control it.
Mm-hmm.
So the practice of meditation is very conscientious, a discipline to think the thoughts that are worthwhile, that are interesting, that are going to take you deep, that are going to take you closer to yourself, that enable you to be like a detached witness on things that are going on the outside of your body that you don't really need to pay attention to. Now, you also have an inner world. And the will or the intellect can direct the mind to the inner world. And it's really in the inner world that you have access to the world of ideas, the world of concepts, and the world of spiritual beauty.
Why is it that for so many people, stillness or silence, even 5 minutes thereof, is painful or punishment?
Because when you turn your attention within, then the mind becomes aware of the disturbance that happens as a consequence of meaningless action, or that you have absorbed things into your inner being from the external world without filtering it. So your head is full of garbage because you didn't pay attention, because you didn't give importance to what is on the inside of your being, and also because you didn't realize that anything you do which is against your conscience is going to sit there on the inside and disturb you. It's going to bite you. They say, you know, the conscience bites. But the conscience doesn't bite until you're still. Then it really starts chewing away on your heart. And that's why it's such a punishment. So a person who keeps their inner world, their karma, their activities, their thoughts, that in such a way that it harmonizes with what you are deep down as a spiritual being, then when you go into silence, you experience the beauty of that, the harmony of that. So then in that case, it's not a punishment.
Well, when you internally still. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it? You're not talking about just not speaking, because that's not silence, not by your definition. So you're speaking about somebody who's not just externally quiet, but internally still. What happens then is that the moment you do that, doesn't your dark side emerge in its full technicolor glory? Because you become aware of yourself and then you have to face yourself.
It really depends on how you work it. I think, well, at least in my experience, the dark side is pretty deeply buried. And it's really when you go into silence quite deeply over quite a long period of time, quite a profound meditation, then you can get the very deep dark part coming up. And there you need to use your yogic powers to manage that darkness, because it will come up, and it comes up so that you come to terms with it and so that you calm it, you see. Yeah. Because you two kinds of dark side happen. One is darkness that you have created, and that is in a way worse. The other, which is there, is dark things that have happened to you. So you've absorbed it, but you didn't create it. So it has injured your soul on some level. But normally what happens when a person is injured and absorbs darkness, that can cause a reaction, which is that the person will behave in a dark way as a kind of justification or a revenge or something like this. So when you go down there in your meditation, in your stillness, and your deep injuries come up, what you need to do is a kind of a healing, a self-healing. And there is where you know what it is, you know how bad it is, and you know that it is past, it's not happening now, it did happen, and you make your peace with it, and you let it go. You then also use your power of silence to bring the light, the peace, the stillness of God to sit in that place, which adds to the whole healing process.
Sister Denise, many people have what is now commonly known as the inner critic, mm-hmm. who's doing this inside all the time. And when you're internally still, then the voice of the critic becomes louder. Any critic is just one example. There is the punisher, there's the judge, there's the your demons are present on the inside. How do you deal with all of that inside? It takes a lot.
I think that it depends very much on your upbringing, because as a child, if you have quite strict parents, teachers, religious leaders who actually instill these moralizing voices into you, you see, the child is vulnerable. The child has no doorways to protect itself against that. So it's quite invasive. And the child internalizes it, and then it stays in as an internalized voice. And this is where your inner critic, your inner judge, all of these things come from. And the society that we live in, that's there pretty well everywhere in the world, is full of that. So depending on the individual, how you have dealt with that as a child, you need to put it out, that which invaded and took over. And if that inner voice or that internalized voice is really strong, then you might be hard put to it to find your own self, because the self gets drowned out. You know, there are some sort of religious approaches in this world, which have the idea that the children don't have a conscience, so we have to give them one. And so this approach actually is very destructive, because the child does have a conscience. And so you impose this external moral authority and kind of crush that nascent conscience and impose this other one. And then that the individual that is emerging, that child that is emerging, is really wounded at a very early age psychically. And so to heal that, you know, you need a great deal of quiet, of love, of reassurance, and so on. And so that may happen when a person is an adult and realizes that they hardly exist, because their persona is made up of masks. And then what's behind the mask is almost like a dead child. And or a child in coma or something, you know, who was never allowed to grow up, you know, never allowed to develop properly. So very distorted, very injured. And so then they need to go back. Sometimes people do what they call as inner child work. And you return back to yourself as a child, and you have to kind of reparent yourself and bring yourself up to the current age that your body is in. There's a lot of people who have been affected in this way. Because as a small child, to protect yourself against that, you have to be so sure of who you are. You have to be so strong just when you come into this world, you know, and a few people are, but it's a minority.
Sure. This, what you're sharing, it seems to entail an enormous amount of internal work.
Well, spiritual practice is internal work. And I mean, you can look at it, oh, this is a lot of work, but then you can look at it another way and say, well, this is the point of life. The things you do on the outside is to maintain your body. You have a job, you need some money, you have a house, you have a family. All of these things is a nice context in which to live relatively comfortably so that you have the space and the time to do the inner work, so that yourself is a work of art that you are constantly working on. And that is your pleasure, that is your purpose, that is the most important thing. You might say, well, that's very self-centered, but it's not selfish, because if a person does that and really focuses on the self in this way, they create something which is very beneficial in the atmosphere and for other people as well.
Is it any as hard as somebody who practices what you just said deal with their pain?
Well, that is dealing with your pain, because part of your pain is you're not allowed to be. You know, that's a big one. And another part of your pain is you're invalidated. That's another very big one. Another part of your pain is, you know, you should feel guilty about being, or you should feel guilty about your fortune, or you should feel guilty about your talents. You know, there's all of that out there in what I call the sort of moral mind space, you know. There has to be a kind of saving grace in a person's life, and you have to find that. You have to find the part of you that is undamaged by that stuff, because a human self, especially very small children growing up in very traumatic conditions, war conditions, domestic violence conditions, addictive households, and so on, there's a place within which is kept separate from all of that. And I think when you're doing your inner work, you go to that place where it's rather like, you know, the bulb of a beautiful flower. And bulbs can be kept for a long, long time, you know. And then when you start to plant it and water it and give it sunshine, that grows. And then the manure that's around in terms of all the bad stuff that has happened in your life, that actually functions as fertilizer. So you can turn the whole thing around. You know, beautiful roses are like that because they're fed with manure. It's a paradox.
Yeah, I see that. So even though somebody is damaged, it doesn't mean that they're completely broken?
Not at all, you see. And I think a very important aspect of this is to again and again remind yourself, I am an indestructible, eternal soul. I am a child of God, and I am a creation who is a beautiful creation by the beautiful Creator, and I am by definition a success story. And okay, I passed through some bad times, but that's fertilizer.
True.
So it's all right.
That's an extremely unique perspective.
Yes, but it's a good one.
Could you share how does one manage the resistance to being internally still? Because that is the first thing that comes up when you even try it. We live in a world today, Denise, where it is actively encouraged to not be still, not even for a second, because if you're quiet, something is wrong. Okay, so you have with you at all times your tablet, your cell phone, the television, your nearest and your dearest, etc.
This is why gone fishing is good.
Right, yeah. I see. Okay.
Because it looks like you're doing something.
Yes.
Or even, you know, you go golfing or I'm walking the dog or whatever it is. You can find some method, but your mind doesn't have to be limited to that on a physical level, and you can do a lot of other things at the same time. The resistance, the way to manage it is don't try too hard. Give yourself a pat on the back for being still for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. It's enough. You know, you don't have to tell yourself, okay, I have to be still for an hour and then spend, you know, 59 and a half minutes struggling. That's counterproductive. It damages the mind. Just let yourself go into stillness, touch it for a few seconds, come out again, go into it. You know, in music, there are notes and there are pauses in between the notes. There's a kind of stillness. Or when you have a thought that is particularly important to you, stop for a moment and savor it. We don't have to have sound all the time, you know. Use tea breaks, traffic lights, being in queues, to just, okay, relax yourself, go into stillness, just be with yourself, and then come back into action. Because anyway, the mind can never be totally still, unless you're dead. And we're not trying to die here. We're trying to become calm, become not distressed. Stillness, you know, if you see the fire, it's moving, but yet it speaks of stillness because it's not moving that much. Or if you're watching the rain fall or you're watching a river flow by, it's moving, but it speaks of stillness. In the same way, your thoughts can be flowing by and still you would say you're still because it's positive.
Okay. So Denise, you've shared with us from the beginning of this episode the theory behind, or the understanding and the how and the resistance one experiences, etc. Okay. So could you show us how it's done? Could you take us through a do you talk to yourself? Do you just say to yourself, I'm going to stop thinking for 10 seconds and see what happens? Do you engage in some sort of activity? Do you just sit down?
Well, you can actually use a meditation exercise. Meditation starts with turning the attention within. So you sit yourself down in a balanced position so you don't have to think about your body. Because when you become still, then you notice your aches and pains. But if you're relaxed physically, there won't be any. And you turn within. You know, the seat of the soul is the center of the forehead. And so you turn your attention there. And you think about yourself as a being of light, very pure, very beautiful. You allow your thoughts to become a little still, a little quiet, a little slower, gentler, quite focused on being, you know, like a candle flame when there's no wind in the room. It can just hold itself there quite steady, and you just let yourself be at peace and begin to feel the warm inner glow of being at peace with yourself. And there become moments of real quiet in between your thoughts. You go further inside, you go deep, and you feel, yeah, this is what it's like to be me. You find yourself. And you just be. Feel like waves of peacefulness coming over you, coming through you, going past you, leaving you calm, quiet, at one with yourself. This kind of thing.
Okay.
Does that make you feel more quiet?
It does indeed. Okay. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for sharing. I hope that you at home today were able to absorb that which I'm feeling in the atmosphere in the studio, especially what was shared in the last 5 minutes. I think the deepest message for me is that irrespective of who you have become, it is more than possible to experience internal stillness and silence and also make it your own. If you're afraid of silence, do not know what silence means, but need something in your life that's missing, I suggest that you try this exercise and see if it works for you. Sister Denise has shared that resistance is normal. Having a past, which we all do, is part of the process, but to learn to make peace with yourself is a very healing and therapeutic exercise. Thank you for joining us, and I hope to see you soon.